Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Charlotte Gaitis. I'm from Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. And welcome to this oral presentation session. It's on clinical services for HIV, prenatal syphilis screening, and chlamydia screening. We're going to switch the order of the first two speakers because Dr. Blank has another talk and another session. So she'll be putting on her roller skates and running across the atrium to another meeting. So our first talk is by Dr. Susan Blank from New York City. She's the Center for Disease Control representative there. And the title of her talk is Improving HIV Care Outcomes Among Persons Newly Diagnosed with HIV in New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene STD Clinic from 2010 and 11. Oh, you've got even till 12 now. That's good. So I think
it's 10 and 11, but 12 is the follow-up year.
Okay, so I think your only pointer is here, although this might be a pointer.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. So you've heard the title of my talk. Just as a quick review, the HIV care continuum is a model that's used by federal, state, and local agencies to measurably assure and improve the delivery of services to people living with HIV. The benchmarks include the diagnosing of HIV infection, the linking of infected persons to HIV care, having those folks staying in care, getting antiretroviral therapy, and achieving HIV viral load suppression. This is the representation from New York City of this continuum of care. Here you see that this is percent and numbers up here. And of the estimated 133,500 individuals that are estimated to be living with HIV infection, 114,000, almost 115,000, have been diagnosed. And if we look at those who are diagnosed, 85% of those have ever been linked to care. And moving on down here, just to give you a sense, 48% of those diagnosed have suppressed viral load. And throughout my discussion, I will be using as my denominator of those diagnosed. The ultimate goal of HIV care, then, is sustained viral suppression. In New York City, the law mandates universal reporting of certain HIV-related laboratory tests, such as viral load and CD4 counts, to the HIV/AIDS registry system, which I'll be referring to as HARS. The HARS data are used to monitor population level care linkage, retention, and viral suppression. Now, if we turn to the New York City STD clinics, the ones that are run by the health department, there are eight in number, and we have about 88,000 patient visits per year. Our HIV testing program within those clinics has the following relevant pieces for the purposes of this talk. One is consent. We do consent using an opt-out provision as of the general medical consent. We screen looking for HIV using rapid antibody testing on site. We do about 60,000 such tests per year. We also do targeted screening for acute HIV infection. As far as linkage is concerned, while we don't actually do the link, we refer patients elsewhere for care at the time of either a preliminary positive or at the post-test for AHI. We report all of our cases to the New York City Health Department Bureau of HIV/AIDS, and what we report from the STD clinics represents about 10% of new HIV cases in New York City and each year, and about 20% of the acute HIV cases diagnosed and reported in New York City each year. So when I mentioned some targeted screening criteria for acute HIV, those criteria are, number one of the following being true in the 2 months prior to visit: sex with an HIV-positive partner, or a man who has had sex with other men, MSM, or a woman who's had sex with MSM, or sex with needle drug user, or exchanged sex for money or drugs, or used injection drug works, or is a victim of sexual assault. And, in addition to one of these criteria, and has had a negative rapid HIV antibody test on the day of visit. So our objectives were using HARS data for persons newly diagnosed with HIV at the New York City Health Department STD clinics in 2010 and 2011. We sought to quantify HIV care linkages and viral suppression and compare the compare HIV care continuum of STD clinic cases to cases diagnosed in other New York City settings. And from that, to identify strategies for within our own clinics to improve our outcomes along the HIV care continuum. Our data source was the New York City HIV/AIDS registry system. And some definitions on background is linkage to care was defined as it is defined by the analyses done in the Bureau of HIV/AIDS, which is evidence of HIV-related laboratory tests, that is viral load or CD4, 8 to 91 days after diagnosis. And the other definition I want to bring out is that of viral suppression, which is the DHHS clinical guidelines definition of an HIV viral load of less than or equal to 200 copies per ml. We identified New York City HIV cases through HARS that were diagnosed in 2010 and 2011. We measured linkage to care and viral suppression at 6 and 12 months after diagnosis among those diagnosed in STD clinics and in other settings. And cases diagnosed was used as the denominator for each of the series of graphs that I'm going to show you. We looked at differences between the groups in order to identify areas for improvement. So first set of results, new HIV cases reported from the STD clinics in 2010, which numbered 406, and 2011, which numbered 376. The blue bar represents new cases that were diagnosed, which is why along the y-axis where you see percent of cases will be shown as 100% of cases. You'll see the same sequence of colors being used throughout these slides. But you can see in 2010, 62% of our new HIV cases in the STD clinics were linked to care, and 39% had a suppressed viral load by 1 year. In 2011, you can see that 65% were linked to care in a timely fashion, and 51% had a suppressed viral load at 1 year. This group of bars you're going to see again and again in the next two slides. Again, this is what you just saw, all new HIV diagnoses, 376 that were made in 2011. The analysis at this point breaks out those acute cases we've identified and those which are other than acute cases. And if we look at our acute cases, of the 100% that we diagnosed, 83% were linked to care in a timely fashion, and 70% had achieved viral suppression at 1 year. If we look at our non-acute HIV cases diagnosed within the clinics, 62% were linked to care in a timely fashion, and 48% had a suppressed viral load by 1 year. Once again, this is our old friend that you saw in the last couple of slides. This is looking at the new cases that are reported in the STD clinics in 2011 versus from all other New York City case reports. And you can see comparing the two that the clinics, whereas we were able to achieve a 65% linkage to care in a timely fashion, it was 68% citywide. And whereas 51% of our clinic patients had achieved a suppressed viral load at a year, it was 54% for the other 3,098 cases citywide. Some of the limitations of our data, we in the STD clinics will see anybody who walks into our clinic looking for HIV testing. The data that you've seen only account for those cases among New York City residents. And also, the other important thing is that the STD clinics in New York City do not have HIV primary care services available on site. We are only able to refer and then check on the actual linkage subsequently. Our next steps include follow-up cases more closely after the time that we refer them for HIV care, comparing linkage rates to other facilities lacking on-site HIV primary care services, that is, those who can only refer but can't actually see that linkage completed themselves. Describe those STD clinic cases identified in HARS as cases not linked to care in a timely fashion, and understanding better who those people are. Review records at recipient HIV primary care facilities and when viral load CD4s are done. And further data quality assurance comparing our STD clinic electronic medical record data to HARS to better pinpoint how to strengthen STD clinic testing and referral efforts. In conclusion, the STD clinics identify substantial HIV morbidity in New York City each year, particularly AHI, a rare but important subgroup. Overall, the STD clinic cases have less favorable continuum of care outcomes than other settings, though we have no on-site HIV clinics and must refer elsewhere. And so that referral and the linkage is really the only piece that we can, you know, influence in a fairly direct way. Our outcomes were best for the AHI cases, which is, in fact, good. We did the AHI cases had better outcomes than non-AHI cases and the STD clinics, as well as cases that were diagnosed elsewhere in New York City. And again, this is important because these are epidemiologically the most important cases. In addition to my co-authors, I'd like to acknowledge Emily Westheimer and Kate Washburn for their input. Thank you very much.
Questions. One is, do you do anything in the STD clinic now to ascertain if patients with previously diagnosed HIV are out of care? In other words, if they come back in. And second, can you review, I'm sorry if I missed it, how you, if you do linkage differently for AHI cases and non-AHI?
The first question was prevalent positives, right?
Out of care, right. Do you have a way to ascertain in the STD clinic people who are out of care?
Any prevalent positive during the course of the medical visit, we have very structured fields in our electronic record, and we actually ask them if they report being a prevalent positive, or if we know from having previously tested an individual whether they're positive, we'll ask when was their last viral load and where was it done, and we do record that. I think in an ideal world, you know, that would be the sort of thing one could ideally have access to a registry like this to truly inform the care that we provide, although I think that's a little ways off, except in Louisiana, whoever's in Louisiana. And then the second question was?
AHI linkages.
AHI linkages? What is different?
Right, yeah. Is it different?
It's different insofar as those are truly dealt with as medical emergencies. And so there's just this higher sensitivity around AHI cases. The other thing is there are fewer facilities that accept, that really want to get out there and accept those AHI cases. And so we've established pretty close linkages with those, you know, handful of facilities that really, from the outset, wanted our AHI cases. And so we have very good, like, referral systems with them. For the non-acute cases, we have a wider range of referrals because not everybody can get to the same two or three facilities, and so it's not quite as tightly managed yet. In the STD clinics, there are really two emergencies that we deal with. Emergency one is a diagnosis of acute HIV. Emergency two is a woman with syphilis who's pregnant. And that's really it. So, and that's what we impress on the staff, and I guess it's clearly worked for AHI.
Yeah. Is there a statistical difference in the amount between the acute HIV cases and the regular HIV cases that you get linked to care immediately? I know they were different.
They were statistically different.
They were statistically
yes.
Different. So you're handling your emergencies well.
Yeah, we just have to bring up the rear of that.
So Susan, if you can comment on partner services and how you deal with that in terms of the linkage between partner services.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. One other thing about the non-acute cases is that we refer based on a preliminary positive. We do not have the confirmation yet. And so sometimes that will, you know, someone will say, we'll take them, but we want to know that there's confirmation first. So that sometimes is an additional barrier that we have to deal with. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So the partner services
yes.
issue, and how is that dealt with in terms of since you're not carrying you're doing the referral for HIV,
Uh-huh.
And so I was wondering about how that kind of linkage occurs as well. You just let the folks that are dealing with the HIV deal with the partner services?
Oh, no. We do the partner services on site. Mm-hmm. You know, we do the interviews. We will get partner, information to the degree we can to follow through with the investigation. And at that time, we will do the referral. And it's not just, show up at, Municipal Hospital X, sometime next week. We do make as I would imagine, probably everybody that is works in the clinic here, we make the appointment. We see, do you anticipate you're going to have any trouble getting that appointment, seeing if we can facilitate that, and then checking to see that they made it to that appointment. One of the changes that we've made, to tweak our system since we saw some of these data is that timely linkage to care is defined like within 90 days. And so one of the things that we've done is we used to call around the time of 90 days to see if they made it. So now we're calling sooner, because if they didn't make it, that gives us time to really get them, to work at getting folks in. So that is actually one substantial change that we've made in our process. The other thing is just looking at the timely linkage to care. New York City uses a definition that's 8 to 91 days after diagnosis. We've also looked at whether in those first, whether within those first 8 days, they lopped out those first 8 days because they were getting a lot of sort of like useless CD4s that meant nothing. They got reported, but it was a cancer case, or it was a, so they said anybody that has a CD4 or a viral load after 8 days, and we are going to look at before 8 days because we, go ahead and we do our viral load at the time of diagnosis for the AHI cases.
Thank you very much, Sue. Okay.